Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Global Spirits Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shekhar Swarup.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our quarter three and nine months earnings call. Our results and other documents have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you've had a chance to go through the same. As we've been discussing in the past, we had a sudden stoppage of supply of raw materials in quarter two from FCI for production of ethanol. However, coming into quarter three, our plants now have operated at full capacity based on rice mainly as the raw material and in part maize. In Q3, we had been expecting a cool down of raw material prices given the satisfactory harvest of paddy in the year. However, there has been a unique environment that prevailed where broken rice prices did not correct despite the satisfactory harvest. This is largely to do with the fact that the paddy that has been harvested has not been milled. Broken rice is a byproduct of rice milling, of paddy milling, and there currently remains a standoff between millers and FCI on commercial terms for milling this paddy. So this year, milling as on 1st February has been around 6% of the total paddy purchase in the year versus last year, which was around 43% as on 31st March 2023. We don't have the same data for 1st February, but this year, 1st Feb was 6%. Last year, 31st March was 43% milled of the total paddy purchase of the year. As a result, there's been a shortfall of broken rice in the market. The good news, however, here is that maize is looking very interesting for ethanol. In December, the oil marketing companies announced a satisfactory price for maize ethanol, and especially in East India for Globus, where there is sufficient maize cultivation, we have started the process of converting most of our capacities to maize in Q3, late in Q3 and beginning Q4. So East India is responsible for 50% of the country's Rabi maize crop this year, which is up 20% year-on-year. So we're expecting a very interesting outlook from maize-based ethanol production, even ENA. Even the raw material situation has impacted our margins. All other input and output dependencies have been favorable. As I mentioned, capacities are running at 100%. Fuel, packaging material, and all other inputs are stable or downwards. Some of this cost increase in raw material has been mitigated with increase in ENA prices as well as ethanol. It's worth pointing out that OMCs have increased prices of ethanol six times in the last two years. So they remain in support of the ethanol industry. Coming to our CapEx, as of now, the company has decided not to invest in further ethanol capacities. As a result, the Odisha project is currently on hold. We will relook at this once the raw material policies in the country are a little clearer. UP project will continue at a reduced capacity as well as bottling to focus on the large and growing consumer opportunity of the state. Despite a quarter of a weak EBITDA margin, the good news is the company has generated free cash, which has been invested in the IMFL business. The growth in the IMFL business is there for all of us to see. Prestige and above brands now contribute to 8.1% of the company's consumer revenue, which was less than 1% in the previous financial year. With many new and innovative products, product offerings and expanding distribution presence, we're very excited about the prospects of this segment, and I request Param to provide an update on the consumer business now.
Thank you, Shekhar. Good afternoon, everyone. The premium segment is indeed showing very strong prospects. Our volumes in Q3 FY24 were 0.1 cases, which was up by 40% and 40% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Prestige and overall brands contributed just above 8% of the total consumer revenues in the quarter gone by. Our brands are now present in UP, West Bengal, Delhi, Haryana, and Punjab. And as we speak to you, we have entered Rajasthan, and slowly our availability there will also increase significantly. Our efforts have started playing off. Glad to announce that in Q3 FY24, prestige and above volume sales have crossed a run rate of 100,000 cases. The next stage of growth has started in coming in from innovative packaging such as the Comfy Pack, which has already been introduced for Mountain Oak as well as our Snosky Vodka and has been very well received and is driving our growth. Going forward, we expect more sales from this pack as well as our other offerings that are on standby. We have successfully established a strong route to market in Delhi, West Bengal, Haryana, as well as Uttar Pradesh already. Other states like Punjab and Rajasthan will soon get stabilized, and we are very confident of leveling them in the FY24-25. Rajasthan will take a little more time, but we are very confident of this. Our flagship product, the Terai Craft Gin, is going strong, and we have decided to widen the distribution of Terai further in existing markets as well as add new geographies. Snosky Vodka and its variants are being expanded into Haryana and West Bengal as soon as the new policies kick in. New brands in premium categories including rum as well as single malt whiskey are proposed to be launched in the oncoming year. We are also launching a new brand called Not Out in the 15% super strong RTD segment, competing with strong beer segments. It will be launched in Delhi in this quarter, followed by UP, Haryana, and Punjab in Q1 or Q2 of FY24-25. Coming to value and value segments, in the overall consumer segment, the total consumer business revenues in Q3 FY24 were up by 4% on quarter-to-quarter basis to 3.68 million cases, led by improved sales in Rajasthan. A key positive that I would like to highlight here in Rajasthan is that the favorable excise policy change which has happened has allowed the option to buy back the allotted quota stock from the other brand owners by paying a fee to the trade partners. Now, this will generate more revenues on their behalf and is received well. This is supported by another price increase of Rs. 15 per case in the value and Rs. 20 per case in the value plus segment for FY25. All in all, we expect a mid-single digit growth for value and value plus categories and an increase in profitability. In Delhi, a delay in excise policy did cost us revenues. On the positive, long-term positive side, however, it helped us secure a price increase of Rs. 40 per case, which will start getting value accretive here on. I will now request Nilanjan to take the lead. Thank you very much. Over to you, Nilanjan.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. As illustrated in the investor presentation, the fall in the margin and the outlook going forward has been explained by Shekhar. Hence, I would be touching upon certain specific developments. First is the tax regime. During the current year, the company has adopted for transition of income tax to the new regime. Accordingly, the rate of tax under the new regime is 25.17% as against the rate as the old regime at 34.94%. This has resulted in rebasing our deferred tax liability in the current quarter as per new tax regime, which was earlier at a higher tax regime, and accordingly a benefit of approximately 30 crores has been taken in the tax line and has improved the PAT. Secondly, as on 31st December 23, the company has 38.08 stake in Board Beverages Limited. Consequently, company has recognized net loss of its share of 15.60 lakh towards post-acquisition loss in the consolidated financial results and adjusted in carrying value of investment as per relevant accounting standards. Thirdly, our value and value plus segment in Rajasthan has been the company's strength in the consumer division portfolio. GSL continues to be indomitable in this segment, not only with respect to market share, but also with respect to margins. Our margins in the value segment is approximately 24%, and value plus segment it is 20%. With the current price increase, this will be more value accretive. To conclude, we are hopeful about upcoming quarters because of the initiatives that has been mentioned. With this, I request the moderator to open the call for questions. Thank you.
Shall we begin the Q&A session?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Raghate from Kamaya Kya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for your good volumes in your consumer business. So my question is on your raw material. How do you see that the margins, in terms of margin in the next quarter, in the Q4, and in terms of shift from rice to maize, how do you see that panning out? Because the maize are getting a good realization going forward and the government is focusing in order to increase the maize root ethanol. So that would be my first question, sir.
You know, in April is when in East India we're going to see the maize crop, the Rabi maize crop harvest take place. As I mentioned earlier, East India is responsible for, last year was responsible for 40% of the country's maize crop. And this year it is expected to yield about half, 50%. Of the country's maize crop. So there's been a 20% growth in the area under cultivation. 67% of Globus's ethanol and ENA capacity is in East India. And as a result, we will stand to benefit from the maize crop. You're right that in saying that maize is being promoted as the future crop for ethanol in India, and that's to do with you know, the water consumption per acre of per ton of maize, as well as yield of ethanol per acre of crop. So in case of rice, ethanol is produced from only 7% of the rice that is produced. The balance 93% of the rice goes for human consumption. So the yield of ethanol per acre is much less. So we are very happy about this development. Our capacities in East India, when they were set up as dual feed capacities for maize as well as rice. And therefore, you know, we've been able to switch between the two raw materials with ease. You know, it's been completely fungible based on arrivals of raw material, what is more beneficial for the company, we are able to switch. The reason why, you know, it's become front and center today is because of the correction of price of maize ethanol. So till now, There was always maize ethanol that was promoted, but the price of maize ethanol was not viable. And in December, or was it November, the OMCs revised this price to make it viable. And as a result, maize cultivation is up, especially in East India, and we are in that region using a lot of maize. Now, to your question about margins in the upcoming quarters, till now, rice remains the majority raw material for ethanol in India. This in the Rabi crop this year is the first time we're going to see a significant increase in maize cultivation after many, many years. And we have to, and basis that, there will be a significant switch to maize. Till then, rice remains the main raw material. So till such time as the government does not start milling the paddy that has been procured in the last Kharif marketing season, broken rice remains in short supply. There is a higher price for rice. So in Q4, I'm not expecting margins to go up dramatically. There will be an improvement based on, already the maize arrivals that I'm seeing. But I'm not expecting a huge upward revision in Q4. Coming into Q1 and onwards, I think around end of Q1, Q2, the rice situation will cool down as well. And of course, there's going to be a lot of maize. So that's when I'm expecting a significant change in margins.
Fair enough, sir. And sir, currently in terms of the raw material basket, how much is broken rice and what percentage would be the maize, the contribution?
I mean, it's difficult for me to give you that number, but my sense is about 70 to 80% would be rice. It's difficult to give you an exact number right now. We can compute that if you'd like a exact number, but in my sense it would be 70 to 80% as of now.
Okay. And sir, in terms of FCR broken rice, do you see that that being a temporary issue, or do you foresee, like ethanol industry might get the broken rice going forward, maybe 1 year? 1-2 years.
So I do believe the issue with FCI is a larger issue. The quality of rice that is with FCI contains 25% brokens, there are very few people in the country that are willing to buy that material for food. As we've seen, and I don't know if you've been following this, but the government has announced their own brand of rice called Bharat Rice. And in the process of packing Bharat rice, the Bharat rice will be made from the rice stocks that are with FCI. In the process of packing that rice, they will be separating the brokens and making it available for industry. FCI eventually has to liquidate its rice position. Otherwise, they cannot mill their paddy. If they cannot mill their paddy, they cannot buy next year's paddy, which will come up in the current year's Kharif season. So that rice has to find its way into the market, and the way of doing that is to clean up the rice, remove the brokens, and then sell it. Bharat rice is a step in that direction, but it's still very small, the kind of quantities that have been given for Bharat rice. In my view, in the next 1 to 2 quarters, so by the end of Q1, there will be a clear policy on this, and the rice market will start to ease at that point.
Fair enough, sir. Then my last question in terms of your consumer business. Sir, in this board business, how do you see the gross margins for this business? And in terms of getting EBITDA positive, what are internal targets?
Right. So, Param, can you take that, please?
So, in terms of margins, in IMFL, we have a brand range at this point of time, which is working in the range of early 30s to mid 30s margin. And in value and value plus, this moves between 20 and 24. Now, obviously, we are launching new brands. We are adding states. So the margins will continue to move up and down till they stabilize once the brands level themselves out. So very difficult to predict the composite margin. As of now, the new brands are still finding their trajectories, and some are moving very fast, and some are taking a little more time. But suffice to say, the range that I have given is the range we are eyeing in the short, medium term. And obviously, as the medium term starts to play out, this will then very slowly start inching up.
So the no-label business margin?
I would be speaking under correction. I don't have it. I can check the number, but I think it should be mid-30s. I'm speaking under correction, but I will go back and check.
So I mean, as a policy, I think the sweet spot for the IMFL business for Globus right now is products that have gross margins of at least 35%, and some of the products have gross margins of as high as 70%-75%. You know, the business projections that we've seen internally, I think the majority of the growth is gonna come for products that are between 35%-50% gross margin. And the higher gross margin products will help in accelerating breakevens from state to state.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi,
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You're not audible, sir. May I request you to use your handset, please?
Give me a second, please. Hi, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, couple of questions from my side. Shikhar, as you plan your, you know, production for the next year, what percentage of your overall production do you think you'll be able to supply through maize?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, in Q4 and Q1, I have a better sense of Q4, Q1 right now. I see as much as 50% of our total ethanol being produced from maize.
Okay.
You know, all things remaining constant, assuming there's no further price increases on rice ethanol, we will move at least 50% of our total capacity to maize ethanol for Q4 and Q1. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, and by then you would anyway have adequate supply kicking in, so hopefully.
My sense, Tarang, is that end of Q1, mid Q1, end Q1, there's going to be a clear policy on rice. Till then, there's going to be a status quo.
Okay. That's helpful. Second, you know, I just wanted to get a sense, you know, you've been spending about 6-6.5 crores per quarter on the consumer business. Would that trajectory continue? And how much was it in Q3?
Yeah, sure. Param, can you take that?
Yeah. Yeah, Q3 was in the same range. The trajectory will start tapering down as we go into Q1 of FY 2024-25, these numbers, because what will happen is the first couple of states will start getting around the bend. We are actually expecting Delhi to become EBITDA positive as the first state. So these numbers will start softening. Though we are going to expand geographies, I still think with expanding geographies also, the investment required will start to taper down now.
So, Tarang, I mean, from a capital allocation point of view, I'm quite happy investing this money in the IMFL business. As the existing set of brands and states start becoming, you know, less capital demanding, we'll be looking for opportunities to deploy this in other brands and other opportunities to bolster our growth.
Okay. So, I mean, typically the 20-25 crore per annum run rate will continue. I mean, while you're initial geographies will start making money, but you'll redeploy that capital to grow your business, correct?
Yeah. So I think for another 2 years, we'd like to deploy this money till we get to a certain base.
Sure. Just a couple of more. I mean, the ready-to-drink acquisition was quite interesting. If you could just give a sense in terms of how do you complement it with an existing business, or it's, you know, you're more so going to be a capital provider and that business is going to, you know, be driven on its own.
You know, it's not a capital. We are not in a, the intention of this is not to provide capital and the business runs on its own. The idea, you know, I've always said that we're creating the highway and then we want more cars on this highway. So, you know, in these 4-5 core states, Delhi, UP and a few others, you know, we are at a more advanced stage of, you know, highways being complete. And Board Beverages is one of the vehicles we'd like to, you know, have this highway used by. So there is strategic importance for Globus in this business.
Interesting. Just a couple of bookkeeping questions. You know, how are, you know, DDGS, con DDGS realizations trending right now?
So we find that DDGS or animal feed supplement is largely currently in India a protein ingredient. The price of protein, the gold standard for price of protein for animal consumption is the price of soya DOC, which contains between 45% and 50% protein. So let's say the price of protein, a pure protein derived from soya DOC is 100 rupees per unit of protein, then rice trades at about 20% discount to that, and maize would trade at between 20 and 30% discount to that. But that's made up by having about 75% higher production by volume of maize DDGS. So whereas you lose on the value, you make up on the volume of production.
Okay. I'll probably touch base again to understand this better. Just 2-3 more questions. Power and fuel expenses for Q3. Net debt as on 30th December 23, and what has your capex been like for 9 months FY24?
Okay, Nilanjan, can you take that, please?
So our net debt as on December is at net of cash and cash equivalent is at 252 crores. And your next question was on power and fuel spend. The power and fuel spend you wanted in rupees crores?
Yes.
The rupees crores power and spend in quarter three was 64 crores. And what was your last question, sir?
Capex for 9 months FY24, and how should we see it for full year 24?
Capex for 9 months 24, 1 minute. 125 crores.
Yeah, okay, 125. So for Capex going forward, currently we are completing our UP bottling plant, which will be commissioned by the end of this quarter. Thereafter, there is no significant capex planned in terms of new capacity. We do have capex that we are undertaking for setting up malt whiskey maturation, cask purchases, and malt whiskey production. But these would be in the range of 20 to 30 crores per year, or rather for the next 6 months. So, you know, that's the current capex plan. There will be a need to set up a small distillery in UP to take advantage of the country liquor market in UP. So that the engineering is currently on, but it's going to be a much smaller capacity as compared to the past projects we've done.
Okay. Thank you, guys. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. Major questions revolve around the new segment that you have entered into. I agree to what you are saying that the highway requires more cars. However, this product, wouldn't it be more comparable to the beer segment rather than the IMFL segment? And if that is the case, wouldn't you require a different highway than what you already have?
Yes and no. The route to market in terms of the outlets where these brands are sold, except for UP, where it is also sold from adjacent shops and from these shops as well. In most of the other states, the brand is even sold from the same shops using the same fridges which are existing in these outlets. So in the larger sense of the term, having a complementing sales team, using the relationships, using the basket, is accretive to us. Would there be anything, a little bit of a specialization? Yes. For marketing activities, there will be a little bit of fine-tuning, for which we have provided for that the marketing tuning investments, as well as the type of investments, there would be a little bit of overlap as well as a little bit of differentiation in that.
Understood, sir. And with the current investment that you have made, I'm guessing that the whole operation is outsourced manufacturing?
Yes, it is indeed.
In that case, are you able to make any EBITDA?
Oh, yes. There is enough delta. Once we secure the volumes, there is enough delta. As one of the esteemed investors had earlier asked, I'm sure it is the margins are in 30% plus range. While I have promised, I'll recheck it. Yeah.
Understood, sir. So on this, just the last question on the ready-to-drink segment. On accounting front, your financials disclose that you have 48.08% stake in the company.
Yeah, Shekhar, you'll answer that.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, this is part of the definitive documents with Board Beverages. There is some amount that was to be invested in the first tranche, and the some amount that's to be invested at a certain event. I think that event is after the certain amount of sale or a very small amount of sale, which essentially implies launch. I think in the next quarter or so, all of that will be completed and it will be 51% by the end of it.
Understood.
And all of that is happening at a pre-decided valuation. And the value is all agreed. This is just a process of crunching the payment.
Understood, sir. So, lastly, just to understand broadly how things are shaping up, I know that there are complex factors as of now which are leading to the changes in gross profit margins for the company. However, if you could just name or say how the key commodities are shaping up. Number one, how the ENA prices are shaping up, how have they been, how they would have been going through a curve and they would have been going completely berserk because of the prices, policies that have come in. So, if you could just see ENA prices, what has been the trend, what is it stabilizing at, and similarly, the cost of grain.
Yeah, sure. So, just from a sort of a helicopter standpoint for a minute, ENA prices have been moving along with average cost of raw material. Let's say 2 month trailing average cost of raw material. ENA prices have been moving along with that. The way that the company hedges its bets between ethanol and ENA has really been beneficial for us. We are able to maximize our average realization of our capacities, non-consumer capacities in that manner. Unfortunately, the reality is that, if you can't convert all your ethanol capacity into ENA, as soon as you do that, you will start putting pressure on ENA prices. So we believe that the current level of split that we have or that we've maintained in the last couple of quarters, which has been pretty much consistent, is a pretty healthy split. In terms of commodity pricing, I think the only commodity in the country which hasn't corrected or softened in the last few months is rice. And that's to do with this weird FCI situation that exists today. As I had explained earlier on the call too, so I won't get too much into that. But, you know, I'm very clear that this stalemate has to resolve. Otherwise, you know, the entire crop procurement cycle fails in the country. So, you know, it's going to take a couple of quarters for it to resolve for various reasons. And at that point, it will resolve. The good news is we have maize and we are able to hedge our bets between the two. So, you know, ENA prices are keeping track with the margin, with the raw material price situation. However, ethanol isn't. The other factor that obviously impacts us is that our value plus pricing, which is a large share of our total business, is also fixed for the year. The raw material price increase that had happened this year, we are having to absorb that. But the good news is the price correction that happened in Rajasthan will give those margins back to us. So, you know, a couple of quarters of to see how this rice situation plays out. And then I think we'll be back to our, you know, original indications of margins, etc.
Understood, sir.
Mr. Awasthi, does that answer your questions?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on, you know, the production of ethanol from maize. Can you tell us the yields that you get when you make ethanol from maize?
So, I mean, these are the, I can't give you the exact numbers. This is, I believe, competitive, you know, advantage for us. I can give you a typical industry range, if that's okay. Okay. That ranges from about 370 to 380, 85 liters per ton.
And yours would be obviously because you do things better than the industry, yours would be on the higher side or even higher to this number, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the industry standard. Yeah, let's just stay with that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And the other question is, you know, on Rajasthan, who would, I mean, what would be the market share for the number two player in Rajasthan, IMIL?
Okay, that's a great question. I'll take that. So Rajasthan state, Ganganagar Sugar Mill, is a state-owned alcohol producer. They stopped producing alcohol earlier and they get us to produce the alcohol and they package it. Get us meaning get private industry to do it, and we are one of the suppliers to the distiller, to their bottling plants. In their excise policy of Rajasthan, the excise department has a minimum market share which they give to the brands of this company. In most of the areas of Rajasthan, the demand, the consumer demand for their brands does not exist. Up in the current year, they have a minimum market share of 35%. And that makes them the second largest player. Coming into the next year, that market share or that minimum market share has been dropped to 25%.
Yeah.
And you know, because we have close to 50% market share of the balance of the entire industry, but if you look at 50% of the available market, if you look at that as a proportion of the available market, it's a significant number. So, you know, that reduction in volume or reduction in market share of RSGSM, we will get, you know, 6 to 7 cases of every 10 is what we expect.
Right. Perfect. And, you know, on similar lines, I think the policy document also mentions that, you know, whatever rectified spirit, you know, stock RSGSM have, I think they can sell it up to March, right? And which was not earlier allowed. So you think it would have any impact on the overall volumes of yours and
I'm not sure what you're referring to exactly, but I think that's just procedural. Param, have you picked up anything on that?
No, not really. Not really.
I think that's just procedural. They may have written down a procedure that's been followed all the time, but there's no real impact from this.
Just to add one thing to what Shekhar has said, in the larger context, the government is of the view that they don't want to be doing business unless there is a specific need to navigate a particular industry, either defend it or it is favorable for the national interest. My view is that this would be probably also a step in that direction, moving from 35% to restricting their commitment factor to 25% could be a step in that direction, which will play out over the next couple of years.
All right. On the similar lines, I think, the policy document also mentions that the wholesaler margins would be reduced from 11% to whatever, 9%. I think the price increase includes this, or this is extra for you?
Oh, that's, yeah. So we were to pay a certain margin to RSGSM when we were selling our product. So RSGSM not only was a competitor, but they were also our distributors.
Yeah.
So that margin has reduced. So that's within the price increase that Nilanjan mentioned earlier.
Okay, so that's included. So, Shekhar, you mentioned that you would be able to pass on cost in Rajasthan, but this is barely, I think it's not even 4 rupees a liter or maybe slightly over 4 rupees a liter, whereas the raw material inflation has been close to 12 rupees a liter, right? So how would you, what do you think about this? I mean, you would be certainly not be able to pass on the whole or at least even half.
You've also saved a lot of money on glass bottles and on packaging material. It is a very fair price increase in my view. It's also something that will remain applicable for the whole year. I don't believe rice prices will remain at this level or go higher any further. It's just not possible anymore. So in my view, it's a fair increase, keeping in view that we've got a whole year ahead of us.
Right. And just one last thing on the consumer side. I just wanted to understand your UP strategy better. I think as of now, you're only doing IMFL, right? And even in IMFL, if you look at a typical vodka 180 NIF, I think for the competitor who's also market leader, I think, and between your prices, it's only 5-7 rupee difference or maximum 8-10 rupee difference when a consumer is buying. So what do you think? Why would a consumer will take your bottle compared to the leader's bottle?
Okay, that's a good question. Param, do you want to take that?
So yeah, see, what happens is obviously there is a whole value in. First thing is we have to start believing that the new brands that are entering the segment, especially we can say that is true for Globus, is that our offerings are significantly superior at similar prices. And when we say offerings are superior, we believe our packaging is better, our innovation is better, our liquid delivery is stronger as our researches reflect because we do intense research, third-party research before we introduce a brand. And as a result, we are giving the consumer an opportunity to upgrade in sometimes with paying a little bit of premium and in other instances without paying any premium. Now, the second challenge is how do you get the consumer to try it out these till he really recognizes these facts and becomes our consumer. And that is the journey we are on where we induce trials, we do all the levers that are required depending on the state applicability of law to make the consumer to try our products and then he reflects in the growth of our brand as it is happening now. So I would not want anyone to believe that since the products are priced the same, the offering is the same.
Right. And similarly in UP, how would you think about going into IMIL and UPML, and what would be your strategy there?
You want to take that, Shekhar?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, there's one other aspect I'd like to talk about. See, in any consumer category, just because a brand has a leadership position doesn't mean that they have an impregnable moat around themselves. You know, in any category, a consumer, where there is consumer power, we've seen that new brands are able to come up, make a profitable business and grow. So I'm very much a believer in the, you know, the compelling forces of competition, which ensure that, you know, brands that are coming up innovate, give consumers better offerings, and therefore create space for themselves. There is room for innovation at every category. As the value of the product is higher, brands have a larger sort of elbow room for innovation. But as the price points reduce, as the value of the product is less, the amount of innovation is limited, but yes, there is still scope for innovation. And a lot of that comes from packaging, from liquid. I think liquid is where our greatest strength lies, being producers of alcohol for such a long time. And we are using all of these levers at every single price point. Granted that in country liquor and medium liquor, especially in UP or pretty much any other market for country liquor and medium liquor, distribution plays a much larger role than innovation. Consumer power reduces as the price point comes down. So we have to be cognizant of that as well. So we would like to give our distributors good margins so that they promote our products.
Yeah, happy to hear that. The other last question that I have, and I'll fall back in the queue after this, you know, I have at least witnessed a, you know, an operating leverage or something of that sort in your other expenses if I remove power and fuel. Is it going to stay, or you think this is temporary and then again, you know, the other expenses will go up as you, you know, grow?
So I think one of the aspects of other expenses was our pre-operative expenses at the factories as they were expanding in the last, say, 6 quarters. As all of our capacities are now commissioned, barring, you know, an expansion in Jharkhand and West Bengal, which we're just waiting for our consent to operate, you know, the CapEx is complete. We've been doing some trials there. A lot of these pre-operative expenses will naturally come down as revenue, as a share of revenues, because the revenue will start coming in from these unutilized capacities.
All right. Thank you so much, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. And thank you for a very detailed discussion. Sir, firstly, if you could just quantify in terms of the savings that we are going to have in the power and fuel, especially for the coal part with the type of linkages as mentioned in your PPT, what should be the absolute number in terms of the savings annually?
So, you know, I think what the deck says is, and, you know, I'll have a look at it again in case there's some sort of an error, but what the deck says is that power and fuel should now remain pretty much at this level, despite going into monsoons and summer where power costs, where fuel costs typically go up, because of the linkages we've done. So 30% of our East India demand is taken care of. A large part of our East India demand is taken care of by the linkages, which is fixed price for 5 years. In addition to that, the plants where we don't have linkages, we do now have multi-fuel capability between rice husk, mustard husk, and you know, paddy straw and other biomass, which too we have done long-term contracts in the season to get supplies in the off season. So the point really is that power and fuel should remain in control at these levels. And in the past, the wide fluctuation we've seen between winter periods and summer periods, that fluctuation should be a thing of the past.
So, sir, taking these aspects and other optimization of cost, what should be now a steady set EBITDA margin trajectory for us? I think so. Q1Q also, we have seen a 100 basis point reduction in our EBITDA margin from 7.2.
So, you know, so what I mentioned earlier was every business parameter has been favorable for us in Q3, aside from raw material. Raw material Q3, Q4 is typically a time where raw material is favorable. This year, due to the reasons I mentioned earlier, it's not favorable. We will have to wait till Q1, Q2 for, sorry, not Q2, but at least Q1 for things to change on the raw material front. For another 1.5 quarters, raw material is expected to remain at present levels.
So to conclude, the EBITDA margin will be in this band of 6.2 to 6.5% only.
I think the band can be a little bit larger, 6 to 7, 6 to 8 should be the band for the next 1 or 2 quarters, till the rice situation eases out, which will be mid Q1 to end Q1.
So sir, if the margin expands from 6 to 8 in that trajectory, if we remove the RM part, what will add to the efficiency of 200 basis points?
It will be RM. There will be some efficiencies of RM. The other factors are pretty much, we expect them to be constant.
Sir, next point is about the ENA market dynamics, sir. We have seen that in interstate also there is a duty structure that gives advantages to some states in terms of the import. So we are expanding our capacity in the state of West Bengal. So currently, do we have any duty protection or do you find any change in the...
Largely, duty protection is a thing of the past. You're able to gain on logistical advantages from being located within the state. Global Spirits endeavors to sell its ENA capacities within the state. We do not like to do interstate sale. There are other companies out there that have specialized on interstate sale. Our strategy is intra-state sale only. All of our capacity will be sold within the state. The duty protection is gradually a thing of the past.
Okay. And do you have any specific duty protection for the state of Bengal or not as it? Right. And lastly, about this maturation part in your PPT, sir, where you have mentioned that 85 rupees per bottle, I think so.
Per liter.
Very sorry, sir. So, taking into account our sales, what should be the absolute amounts saved?
Oh, at present, these would be small numbers. I don't think any of these are going to be significant contributors to our margins. I think the point that's being made on a maturation facility is the preparation that we are doing in advance for our IMFL business and also the innovations that we will have access to with our own maturation facility. Currently, we are dependent on others.
Right. Thank you, sir, for all the elaborate answer and all the best to the team. Namaskar.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sir. Good evening. So, firstly, you mentioned a certain percentage of total ethanol to be produced from maize in quarter 4 and quarter 1 of FY25. That was 15%, right? 1-5?
50, 5-0.
Okay. Now, the second one was on these margins, sir, and the previous question. So you expect them to be in the band of 6 to 8 for the next 1 to 2 quarters. But you had mentioned earlier that you also expect significant change in this rice situation, right? By early quarter two, I guess.
Yeah, I think by the end of quarter one, there'll be a policy.
Suppose that, then to what degree can the margins be benefit?
I mean, that's... let's chat about that in the next quarter. Let some more visibility come around. But, you know, we should go back to our earlier trajectory. It's difficult for me to give you a number right now. It's completely speculative.
Sure.
There's a lot of events, large scale events taking place between now and quarter one. So let's just wait and watch a little bit.
Okay, no problem. And just lastly, then, just, you know, if you, given your view of the market, what do you expect overall business growth? Next year, just a directional, or if you're able to provide a ballpark guidance, that would be...
Yeah, sure. I mean, Bengal and Jharkhand, new capacity, trials have been on. We're waiting for consent to operate so that we can, you know, fully utilize this. So that 120 KL per day of production is going to come in. I think there are some quarters in the current year where our capacities were underutilized because of FCI and for some other reason. So, there should be no such event in the current year. We don't foresee any such event in the current year. But the real growth is going to be in our consumer business. I think Value Plus, we're expecting, like Param said, mid-single-digit type of growth. But the IMFL business is looking very, very interesting. We've closed the last quarter with 40% quarter-on-quarter growth. I think Q4, typically, we'd like to be a little conservative on our dispatches because of change in policies. But then getting into Q1 and onwards, we're really excited about the growth prospects here. I think we could well exceed the growth that we've demonstrated in the current quarter.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. I think I missed the power and fuel hedging that you spoke about. You said 30%,
yeah,
is it, of your eastern capacity?
It's around 30-35% of East India fuel requirement has been linked with, you know, the long-term linkages that Coal India has. We've gone in for that for the next 5 years. So for 5 years, our price of fuel to that extent is fixed.
Okay, got it. And last, I mean, as you gear up for Q4 and Q1, my sense is a large part of your raw material would have been procured or would be in the process. So how are prices trending right now for both maize and rice?
Maize is a little more profitable than rice. But, you know, I think margins are similar as Q3 right now.
Okay. Because... at least from what I've been seeing, maize prices have been hovering at about 24.5 rupees a kg. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's completely correct. But the margins on maize are higher, and that's why I've said that, you know, our margins will expand a little bit. But that's the range, 6-8% till the policy on rice clears out.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chandak from JM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So Shekhar, you know, if I see the company as a whole, manufacturing is almost 66% of the business and consumer is roughly 34%. Now, I just wanted to understand, say, over the next 2-3 years, how do you see this share moving? Because, you know, frankly, as an investor, one would be more or should we more focused on the consumer business because that's where the longer term value, you know, clearly gets created. But how does the business move, say, over the next 2 to 3 years? You know, is the focus more on manufacturing, less on consumer, or how should one, or, you know, would it be equal? Because if I see the margin trajectory also over the last few years, I'm seeing, you know, the margin has now gone from at one time from somewhere in the range of 20% to, you know, as low as what it is at this point of time because of the manufacturing business. And in the process, what is happening is as a, you know, the market, I'm seeing the investors have, you know, completely got focused on the manufacturing business rather than the consumer business, and the value of that is somewhere getting lost in the stock completely. So how should one understand the trajectory, say, from a 3-year perspective?
Right. So the consumer business is the business that we want to grow, and we've been working on growing. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depends how you look at it, we have had more capital available to deploy than what the consumer business could take. During this period, we saw a very good opportunity in the ENA ethanol space, and we deployed capital there. Most of the capex that was made has already been paid back because of the high margins we enjoyed for about 3 years, and now we do not see the need, or rather the rationale, to make any further investment in pure ethanol plants. Any investment being made in capacity now is going to be done to supplement the consumer business. For example, in Uttar Pradesh, where we need capacity to make country liquor, we will set up a small distillery over there. The company's focus has been and remains the consumer business. Now onwards, we do not see any capital deployment taking place in pure ethanol capacities. So over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you know, the way an alcohol an ethanol manufacturing capacity works is that we utilize it 100% as soon as it starts up. So you get this massive growth spurt, but thereafter there is no further growth. On the other hand, in the consumer business, you know, there is regular growth that that comes in as the business gather scale. So over the next year or two or three, we do see this number looking like, you know, the inverse of what it does today. And that is what our goal is.
Understood. And say 3 years out when this number, you know, inverses, or 4 years out when its number inverses, I know it's a long shot, but where do you see the margins moving towards?
Oh, okay. You know, I think the margins of well, it's okay, the margins of the consumer business will start looking like about 20, 25, 30% at that point, because that's the kind of margin we are able to generate today. Of course, right now our other expenses as a share of margins is very, very high because we are growing this business. But it's very clear to me that as soon as states start becoming profitable, what Param mentioned, as Delhi is becoming profitable this year, you start getting 20 to 30% margins from this business. Now, how that averages out and blend and gives us a blended margin is difficult for me to say. I do believe that a fair long-term margin for the manufacturing business is around 15%. But, you know, a few policies need to get rearranged for that. So, you know, if 25% you're getting, say, from the consumer business, say 15% from the manufacturing business, around 20% is what your margin starts looking like at that stage. Maybe a little bit higher, if, depending on the share of the consumer business.
Okay, perfect. Great. Thank you so much. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitya Shah from Kamakhya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask for Terai, what has been the sales growth and volume growth Q3 FY24 versus the same quarter last year?
Param, do you have that?
Just one sec. Yeah, I should be able to. I think in general, we are looking at just short of 70-odd% growth. So my take is it will be a little less in Q3 because Q3 peak quarters, the growth is a little less. But I'll take a couple of minutes for me to develop the number. You want me to come back, circle back to you, Nitya? You can leave your details and we can
sure,
come
we
back
can
to
that.
That number.
Just a few more questions regarding this.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see this business shaping up? Like, say, for Craft Gin, there's a lot of other players in the market in India today. So how would Terai Gin, you know, try and create a mark in that market? And even you're coming out with a single malt whiskey next year. So I just want to understand what are the initiatives you could take to make a mark for yourself since there's so many players already.
So, you know, Param, is it okay if I take that?
Yeah, yeah, you could take that.
So, you know, I think the way we see the prestige and above space evolving going forward is that there are going to be three categories. One is IMFL, which we all understand very well. The other is, you know, imported products, whether bottled in India or bottled overseas. So, you know, Scotch BII, Scotch BIO. And I think there is evidence, there is reason for us to believe that there is going to be a third category, which is going to be high-end Indian-made products. This category or this share of wallet has till now been reserved for imported products. But there is a change now where Indians are looking to spend high, you know, give their share of wallet to high-priced Indian liquor. And that's where the India Craft Spirit Company comes in. India Craft Spirit Company is not a separate company. It's a brand of Global Spirits where we have sort of housed all of our high-end Indian alcohol. The Rye India Craft Gin is the first of that. The single malt is the next brand under that. And we are hopeful for, you know, many other variants of these two products or new brands entirely within this umbrella. So that is our strategy with the India Craft Spirit Company.
Okay, so gin and whiskey are the only two spirits which you would be focusing on in the craft segment, no other?
No, I did not say that. Currently, gin is the first, the next is a whiskey. In the future, there will be more. And within gin and whiskey, there will be several expressions of variants that will be launched.
Okay, I wish you all the best. Thank you.
1 minute. Terai, between Q3 and Q2, has grown by 18%.
I meant Q3 of this year versus Q3 of last year for Terai, the volume growth.
Okay.
Okay, we'll revert from that and announce it on the call.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Raghate from Kamakhya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. What price point will be competitive?
You're not audible. Can you speak a bit louder, please?
Hello.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah. So, sir, in the single malt whiskey,
is it just me or I'm not able to hear the speaker?
Mr. Tushar, again, we lost your audio there. We are not able to hear you. May we request you come to the network area, please?
I think I got a sense of the question. It was price of single malt whiskey. I'll just go ahead and answer that. You know, as of now, we'd rather not make the announcement of the price, but it suffice it to say that you know, there is a price band, an accepted price band of Indian single malts that's emerging. there are three or four other brands that are operating in India at those price points. So, you know, we are evaluating within that price band. Can we go to the next question, please, if any?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Shekhar. And unfortunately, I'm always the last one, so I know there'll be paucity of time, so I'll try to hasten my question. I think on the consumer front, if I was to look at IMIL and sort of IMFL separately, let's take IMIL first. So there'll be an external consideration, so all the various state excise liquor policies, and there'll be an internal strategy. So currently you have a favorable Rajasthan excise policy, I think Param touched upon of the Delhi part as well. So given the other states we operate in, Haryana, West Bengal, etc., I mean, if you were to give a 1 or 2 or 3 year out view on the IMIL's shape of business in terms of both geographies and products.
Unfortunately, you know, it's very hard to do that for Haryana and West Bengal. You know, the political affiliations there make it very hard to make that prediction. I mean, states like Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, Rajasthan, these are clear, you know, the government is a single party government largely, or a majority of it is a single party. In the other states, well, so is West Bengal actually, but you know, that's a completely different animal. Unfortunately, I'm not able to give a guidance on how how Bengal and Haryana will shape up. And accordingly, our investments in these two states behind value and value plus segments are structured. You know, we are in a holding formation. We are very much spectators over there. If things change for the better, if we believe that there is a strategic shift or a structural change over there, then we will reassess our capital allocation strategies for growth. The growth in the consumer business is very much based on prestige and above brands, as well as a UP value plus category that we are now looking to create for Globus.
So, Shekhar, let me rephrase that question. Maybe I didn't frame it very well. So, there is a Rajasthan, which is a massive part of our business, which is very favorable in terms of the excise policy for next year. There is Delhi, which also seems to have some sort of favorable facets to the policy. Then there could be an entry into new markets, and you have created a sort of a value plus segment. So I just wanted to understand it on those vectors as a product segment and as geographies. Where do you see it go in the next 1, 2, 3 years in terms of the IMIL business?
So UP has the possibility to give us, you know, a very large growth rate. UP value plus market is 95 lakh cases per month. The IMFL market is 35 lakh cases per month. For Globus, UP is going to be a significant focus, in this year for sure, but even in the years to come. For value plus for Globus, it is going to be Rajasthan and UP as the main horses currently. We've got presence in Haryana and West Bengal. We are not letting go of that, but I'm not expecting much growth from there.
Okay, perfect. So my last question would be on the IMFL part, where you've explained it beautifully in terms of the prestige plus, let's say, a sort of craft or a connoisseur space. And then below that, you spoke about the regular IMFL. So if I was to ask you a similar question, that in terms of the product white spaces and the geography white spaces, in the next 1, 2, 3 years, where do you see the IMFL business progress in terms of the product categories, in terms of the geographies, you know, where we are today and where we will be 1 or 2, 3 years later?
I can answer that from a Globus point of view. It's difficult for me to give a guidance on where the industry would go. And hopefully Globus's picks would be based on, you know, our understanding of industry. There would be some categories, some products that would be high volume brands which have, you know, lesser innovation. A Mountain Oak, for example, it's a phenomenal product, it's a great liquid, but there is little room for innovation. Within what there is, the brand has started to do very well. On the other hand, there are going to be brands like Terai, where there is an immense scope for innovation. Some of the products that we are looking at in the office are things that the industry has never seen before in India and in some parts, and never been done anywhere in the world either. There are categories which do not allow for us to do something like that, but then there are categories that do. As a company, the way we are creating our portfolio, we are, as I mentioned earlier, you know, categories which have at least 35% or so margin is where we'd like to begin. And we go all the way, based on our current portfolio, to about 70% margin. In every state, we look at opportunities that exist in this sort of pyramid, and we decide on which brands are to be launched in which market based on the opportunities in that state. So, you know, I hope I've been able to answer your question. I know you were asking me something else, but, you know, I hope this gives a bit of a flavor.
No, absolutely. In fact, I was asking from a global perspective and not from the industry, that in the next one or two, 3 years out, which would be the geographies that you would be participating in IMFL, and with what kind of product portfolio?
Right. I mean, Param, do you want to take that then? What are the new states? Yeah.
So we at this point of time are looking at adding, you know, two types of states. One states are which will carry a significant part of our portfolio as it keeps emerging and the current portfolio. And second will be states which will be in service of our super premium range, which as of now we have Terai and we have some more waiting on the wings. So two types of geographical expansion will happen. For the first one, which will carry a more comprehensive range, we are expecting that in 2025 we see ourselves adding 2 to 3 states if we time them well, because we are waiting for the policies which may get dragged a bit because of our elections schedule. In terms of the second category, where we are widening the net to offer our super premium range a much wider platform for consumers to experience, it could be beyond two in the coming year. And similar pattern at this point of time, I'm hopeful we'll be able to continue to build a couple of states every year. A little less aggressive year, we will end up with maybe one, and then with probably three in a more aggressive year. So at this point of time, two are definitely looking on the horizon for each category, 2 plus 2. So that's the way we are looking at 24, 25. Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much, and all the very best. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, pardon me if this was already answered. I just want to know about why, what is the reason behind the hold on Odisha greenfield CapEx plant? Is it majorly because of the conflict that is happening in the raw material, that is, broken rice and maize in the ethanol segment, or is there any other reason behind it?
There's no conflict really. I mean, the reason's really simple. We don't believe that without a clear raw material policy anymore, the ethanol business warrants any further investments. In the past, there's been a clear policy where distilleries can buy raw material from the open market. In case that is not viable, then FCI would supply raw material. Now suddenly FCI will not supply raw material, so there is a fixed contract I have with OMCs, but the supply side is completely open. So till the time there's a clear policy on raw material for the ethanol industry, I do not believe it makes sense for further investments into ethanol.
Okay, got it, sir. And my second question is on the Bore Beverages Limited one. So it was mentioned in the filing that the status of Bore Beverages has been changed from subsidiary to associate. So what is the reason behind its
so that's just for accounting purposes. There is no change in the business, in our investment. That's merely for accounting reasons. And if you'd like to know more, I can ask Nanjan to answer that.
Yeah, okay, sir. No problem. Got it. And lastly, okay. So it was mentioned in the presentation that in this quarter that ready-to-drink segment, not out, we are entering the product into the Delhi state. So consequently, it was mentioned that after the Delhi, we will be entering Punjab and Haryana. So will it be in Q1 FY25 or what can be the timeline for those markets?
I think between Q4 and Q1, we'll launch it in all the states that we intend to. So in another 6 months,
I think UP will be the second one too. Between UP, Punjab and Haryana, as soon as we can get the formalities done, they will be launched. Followed by Delhi. All three, depending on which sequence they queue up.
Okay, so within these next 3 months, sir?
Definitely Q1 we definitely see, because if the excise policies in these states get dragged and then they get pushed off to, let's say, towards the end of April, then probably the end of Q1 then it will happen. So it all depends on whether the excise policies get released before the code kicks in, or do they get affected by the code. So it depends on that. Yeah.
Okay, sir, got it. Just lastly, is this not out one a completely beer product, or is this somewhat a bro code kind of a product where beer and the wine mixture like that of a product, sir?
So to the extent, the similarity is that this is also a fortified product. Not using wine. We are fermenting it. We are not using wine, but it is a fortified product, yes.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. That's it, Panesh. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow, India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just one question on UP again. How does the distribution works in UP? Is it through a government entity, or this is like a standalone wholesalers? How does it work?
No, so the market is private. So the government does not do wholesale. The stock is supplied to private wholesalers. And from there onward, it moves to private retail to the consumer.
And the margins are fixed by the government on the wholesale side, or this is open?
No. So the margins are fixed by the government for the wholesalers as well as the retailers. Having said that, obviously there are other things into play of how the market competes with each other.
Understood, sir. Well understood. And how does the other markets like West Bengal and Haryana works? Very similar to this?
I'll answer specifically the two questions states. So West Bengal, the depots belong to the WVCL, which are now being managed by what they call distributors. It is a new development probably a year and a bit back. And these distributors have a fixed margin given by the government under the cost card. And then again, the market plays out with competition. These distributors all have a few states each, but they are not allowed to
take other companies as other brands, and the companies at this point of time cannot change distributors so easily. The retail, however, is totally private and works independently, and they pick up stocks from the distributors.
Similar in Haryana?
Yeah. Haryana is totally private. The wholesalers are appointed by the government. Most of the wholesalers are those who also own retail outlets. Very few of them are there who only have wholesale and not retail. As a result, they have high leverage because they also own the outlets and they also own the wholesales. Here, wholesalers are free to buy any stocks from the company, and companies are obliged to supply to the wholesaler provided the terms and conditions of both parties are met by each other. Yeah. So private wholesaler, private retail.
Got it. This is very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for attending this call today. We remain available for any further questions. In case you have, kindly reach out to us. Our details are on the website and today's release. Thank you again and have a good night.
Thank you. On behalf of Global Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.